I don't know whether it's the time of year, or what particularly, but at the moment there seems to be quite a few interesting and thought-provoking booze audio commentaries that are going around from my group of people here on Audio Boo. Certainly from the likes of Paul at Omani Blog and Bernie at Top Gold and others that I've been listening to, and maybe it's because I'm actually listening more to booze at the moment. Thank you very much to my new Bluetooth headphones. Makes it a lot easier for me to do that actually. But there's certainly a lot of thought and thought inspiring, thought generating booze and commentaries going on. And there's a few really that I want to respond to because they're quite they touch me, and so I should do that hopefully over the next couple of days because I'll lose my train of thought. In fact, I was listening to a boo by Paul at Omani Blog. I just finished listening to it actually, and talking about turning anger into something positive, or turning anger into a lesson for patience. There's far more to the boo than that, and I will put a link to Paul's boo in the description of this boo because I recommend you listen to it. And there were three key points from Paul's boo. And Paul, if you're listening to this, thank you for such a sharing boo, a personal boo. And they're my favourite kind of boos, to be honest. Something going beyond the everyday, or at least something that's a little bit deeper than something that touches me, I suppose. And you're not to know what touches someone, and you're not to know what affects someone, I suppose. So it's just my terminology here. It isn't a characterization of other kind of boos, really. But there were three things in Paul's boo that touched me, that made me think. And the three key areas for me were, the first was turning anger into a sort of an opportunity, if you like, turning something negative. Let's broaden this a little bit. Turning something that neg something negative that happens to you emotionally or anyway into a something positive within you. Paul's own lesson here was talking about feelings of anger and turning that into something other. Something, I think Paul's term was treating it as a gift to, as a gift, as a lesson to be learned to help grow yourself into something better, if you like, a better way of dealing with something. And Paul used the example of Job in the Bible. The book of Job. Most people may be familiar with Job. I would the story, basically, a very faithful man of God being tested to the ultimate, to the point of death, to see if he will turn away from God. That's okay. It's one of my favorite stories, actually. But the point is this idea that if we have a negative feeling, let's say anger, how do we deal with that anger? And this is the first point for me that touched me. How do we deal with that anger? Sometimes our natural response is to retaliate. So, an example for me would be I get agitated actually by somebody not being punctual. If I've arranged to meet somebody and they're late without letting me know, that evokes quite irrational anger within me, and I can be easily guilty then of not being as pleasant to that person when they do finally turn up as I would be normally. And I'm very much aware of this. And an exercise Paul talks about was to go away and write your anger down in a book using just letting your feelings pour out into a book, into a page, into a notebook, just to get it out there. And I understand this concept. I do two things similar. I go into a place where I can speak and not be overheard, and I can shout a lot of expletives. I can rant to myself as opposed to ranting to the person. And by ranting to the person who's made me feel angry or evoked the anger within, is probably a better way of putting it. It's better for me to go elsewhere and do that than do it in front of the person, because it solves nothing. In fact, it makes the situation far worse, not just because I'm making the other person upset, but because I have feelings of guilt within me as I'm spewing out my anger. And it doesn't have to be vitriolic, it can just be my attitude. I know that I'm not being the best I can with that person because of this irrational anger that's been risen in me by something that the other person has done, and it could be unwittingly, certainly not without malice. It's better for me to go away and rant, because if I did it in front of that person, like I say, it's not just going to affect them. It makes me feel guilty as I'm doing it, as I'm being that poorer person, if you like, as I'm being that insensitive or angry person. I feel guilty, and that perpetuates the situation, because then my anger rises. Now I'm angry at myself. And the only person I can take it out on is the person I'm already taking it out on. And one thing leads to another, and it can be very, very uncomfortable for everyone concerned, and not least of all me. And I'm not saying that this I'm more important than the other person, but this is a point. Anger turns in on itself and creates more of the same. It's the same with any emotion, really. What we call good emotions, as well as what we call our negative emotions or bad emotions. So what I tend to do is if I can have the opportunity, I'll go into a room and just rant and rave to myself until I get to the point of how ridiculous I sound to myself, because I no longer feel guilty. I know I put myself out of harm's way, if you like. And now it becomes ridiculous. My anger becomes ridiculous to me, to the point where I can smile and I know I'm foolish. And my feelings for the other person, of negativity towards the other person, have totally disappeared. In fact, are replaced by a warm glow. That this person, who has done absolutely nothing really wrong, certainly not deliberately wrong, and so therefore doesn't justify my anger towards them, however that might be expressed, I now feel warm towards, because here I am laughing at myself, at the ridiculousness of it all. If it's a little bit more serious than that, what I like to try and do is what I call my stabbing technique or punching technique. I will go into my bedroom or a bedroom or somewhere out of the way and just punch the hell out of some soft furnishings. And that tires me very quickly. And again, this idea of me being ridiculous springs to mind. And because, like I say, I don't have any guilt, I'm not doing any harm to anything apart from possibly bursting a cushion, it seems, with my punches, I'm not really doing any harm. The ridiculousness that I feel to myself doesn't make me angry. It just makes me laugh. And again, I can go back into the room or go back into the situation, go back in front of the person and just feel a warm glow. A warm glow for that person. And this takes me on to the second point of interest in Paul's thoughts. And this is the idea of turning this anger into a gift. It becomes a gift. It becomes something that we can look at as a way of an opportunity, an opportunity. A lot of people, what I call saints, and I don't mean this from a Catholic point of view, I just mean it from a sort of a generic idea of a saintly person, a saint, is that they are able to turn negativity into good. For me, this is the biggest thing that the God that I have faith in and believe in, does. The power of my God, if you like, is his her its ability to turn anything that is negative into something that is inherently good. And that takes the divine. And we can do that ourselves on a smaller scale if we want to. So we can take these lessons that Paul talks about, these lessons of that are sent to us, these adverse things that are negative, these adversaries, I can't say the word, adversities, is that the right word? We can take these things into something good, and the saints do this either through themselves, or they seek adversity to turn into something good. I think in our charity workers, people who are going out of their comfort zones, if you like, or out of their normal environments and going away into another country, into war zones, into poverty zones, to help others, into areas of disease, just to help other people. They are seeking this terrible conditions, if you like, this whatever it is, these issues that make them angry and upset, and going and doing something about it on a bigger scale. And we can do that on a smaller scale with ourselves, as Paul was hinting at. We can take an anger that we feel, a negative emotion, a jealousy, whatever it is, and take it as a lesson to say, here we are being tested, if you like. That is one way of looking at it. It can be a test, and why not? Why shouldn't we be tested? You know, why shouldn't we have lessons to learn? Lessons don't always come out of a book. They don't always come out of other people's experiences. They don't always come off the internet or TV. The best lessons are the ones we learn ourselves that are meaningful. And a lesson of dealing with anger is one of those, or a lesson of dealing with jealousy or any kind of hurt, to deal with that lesson, to take it as a lesson and as a gift to turn it around into something that's positive and helpful for ourselves and others, is a truly wonderful thing. And that was something that was shone through in Paul's Boo, this idea of turning something that's negative into a positive, learning from it. There was a third thing that Paul was talking about, and it's this idea of support, the support we get from our loved ones. And we tend to hurt those around us. The old adage, the old cliche, that we hurt those who love us the most, we hurt the most. And that's because we feel a sense of comfort with them. We feel a sense of security, and we can let our feelings go. But of course, the damage can be more, in fact, it often is more when we allow our negativity to override us. And Paul was talking about the support his partner gives him and has given him throughout his life. And that's something to remember with our loved ones. We don't need to take our frustrations out on them, because more often than not, it isn't them that are giving us the frustrations anyway. We all have our demons within. There are triggers for those demons. And I call them demons, you call them what you will. Those emotions, those feelings, those aspects of us that we try to keep buried. And we have to keep some of them buried. I do believe this, because we have yet to learn that lesson of how to deal with those negative emotions. And until we can learn to deal with them, we have to use our... we have to sort of man up, and in the sense that we have to lock them down. Have to lock them away until we can deal with them better. But of course, locking them away doesn't mean they go away. It just means they're to be dealt with later. But we can't learn all the lessons at once. I'm rambling if I continue, and I think I've said enough. But I want to thank Paul again for another wonderful boo that's inspired me. And I, you know, do what you need to do to turn something that upsets you or causes upset within you into something positive. Try it. For me, it's to make it ridiculous. For me, it's to make it laugh at, to make whatever it is, to make me laugh at myself for feeling that. And then when I can laugh at myself, there is no harm around me. There is no harm that I can cause. There is no harm then that has been caused to me, even though I may have thought so in the beginning. To laugh at oneself is one of our greatest gifts. To think of ourselves as ridiculous is one of our greatest gifts, because it disables the negative and enables the positive. Thanks for listening. And as always, if applicable, God bless.